The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Today's show is sponsored by Lakehouse Coffee and the Atlanta Coffee Supply Group, Atlanta's premium full-service distributor of hand-roasted coffee, premium iced tea, brewing equipment, and supplies for the hospitality and food service industry. Featuring proprietary brands like Lakehouse Coffee and Blue Durango Iced Tea. I've been drinking Lakehouse Coffee every morning and loving it. You know me, I don't bullshit, I wouldn't say stuff like that if I didn't like it. You may already be enjoying their brands of coffee and tea at Atlanta restaurants like Wahoo, South City Kitchen, Gusto, Dantana's, and many more. If you're a proprietor or decision maker in the restaurant or food service industry, reach out to these guys and start carrying these brands. If your favorite spot doesn't carry Lakehouse Coffee or Blue Durango Iced Tea, get on it and tell them the Atlanta podcast sent you. Go to lakehousecoffee.com to check out all the restaurants they're currently being served at and learn more about them. That's lakehousecoffee.com.
Check 1, 2, Matt B. Davis. Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the Atlanta podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. It is a late spring, early summer, hot as fuck on the front porch episode of the Atlanta podcast. Since I started the show, I wanted to get really as ATL as possible. How can I do that? Well, what's the dream list? We've talked about the dream list on the show before, right? The mayor, Arthur Blank, Ludacris. How about the guy from King of Pops? Boom, got that guy. Nick Carse, he was great. Go back and listen to that one. How about a guy who works on the MARTA? That's not what I meant to say at all. A guy who works in the MARTA wouldn't be a big deal at all. How about the guy who's the chairman of the board of MARTA? That's pretty fucking Atlanta if you ask me. So I emailed MARTA and I was like, hey, well, no, what I saw they had a social media page. I was like, all right, cool. They're getting with the times. They had a funny Instagram. Who can I talk to? And they said, well, what do you mean? Like, who would you like to talk to at MARTA? And I said, how about someone with personality? Because if, like, they gave me some boring-ass person that wanted to talk about stats and train stops, that's not my guy. So they suggested one Robert Ash, the third, a.k.a. Robbie, who moonlights as the chairman of the board of MARTA. And he was a great pick. He was awesome. We had a great chat. I don't want to dilly-dally too much. This was last week. Guys, you know, how many times have I said it? How many times can I say it? I've got shitloads in the hopper. But guess what? He goes to the front of the line. He goes to the goddamn front of the line. That's right. In this podcast, we curse. And I know you're listening, MARTA people. MARTA people, if you work for MARTA, whether you're a train operator or you're in a suit or you're in an office somewhere, I know you're hearing this and it went out through your email list or whatever you guys have. I titled this episode to get you as many listens as possible. Because, you know, if I'm flipping through a podcast list and I just see MARTA, I don't know that I'm going to – maybe we're talking about T-Splost. Whatever that stands for. The name of this episode is MARTA is Sexy, so we can get some downloads and hear this guy. All right, away we go.
What did you think of Nick from Yacht Rock?
He's a fascinating character.
I thought so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, anybody who does Prince cover, it has me, you know, wrapped around his little finger.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Little Red Corvette.
Right?
It's a brilliant song.
It is a brilliant song.
Raspberry Beret.
Do you?
Another great song.
Do you, have you seen them a lot?
Not a lot, but enough times that, like, I really dig it.
Okay. Yeah, he was really good. I liked him a lot. And, you know, he played songs at the end. And I'm like, man, I wish everybody could do that. Like, that's just like a good way to end a show.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get that from me.
Okay. So why don't, can you describe where we are, by the way?
Sure. We're in my office, which is the what I call my never-ending book report of a day job. I'm a lawyer, so I read a lot. I write some stuff. I send that off to other people to read. And periodically, I get to talk to people about it. But basically, that's my day job. That's why I had to go find a hobby that was a hell of a lot more interesting.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to your hobby in a minute.
Yeah.
But can you describe sort of physically what we're at?
We're sitting around a conference room table. There's a lot of wood in here. There's art that I really don't actually understand.
Right.
But kind of that one I find creepy. It's a little dark.
Right.
The other ones are fine. And then there's a television that I don't know how to turn on.
That television, I'm going to guess, is 80 inches?
I don't know.
And then what am I looking at right here? Like, what is this giant thing I'm looking at?
So that's the building at the corner of Peachtree and 14th Street. If it weren't so rainy, you could see Stone Mountain out in the distance.
Right.
And actually, this corner, this intersection we're looking at, 14th and Peachtree, is one I talk about a lot when I talk about MARTA, because I grew up just around the corner from this, and when I was a kid, this corner, which now probably has, what, like 80 stories, 100 stories of office high-rise at it, was the Colony Square buildings, but then the other three corners were gravel or grass.
Right.
I mean, there was nothing. Like, Midtown was radically different.
Correct.
40 years ago. The coolest thing about the intersection was that there used to be an ice cream trailer. It was a dude named Steve, he went to franchise, so he changed his name to Gorin. So it was Gorin's ice cream trailer.
I feel like I've heard of that.
He was a thing in Atlanta for a while, because he was the first dude that I knew who did mix-ins. Like, back before that was cool, like, they'd smear the ice cream and top it with whatever. Although we never got to get those, because that was like extra charges, and
right.
So. Right. Like a scoop of ice cream was
right.
Pretty much where our
right. Well, and you also bury the lead. You got to tell people what we call that building so they know, they get the impression in their head. If you just give people an address, they don't really know.
I call it the King and Spalding building because that's where that's the law firm.
Well, that's what
it,
a dorky lawyer would say. It's the Batman building, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. It's, I mean, well, one of the things I like about it is that it is at least architecturally interesting. As opposed to a bunch of the other buildings that have gone up.
Well, here's what, you know what's interesting for me?
Yeah. Whenever, about lawyers, nothing?
Whenever I'm in a building like this, it brings me back to my early 20s, where I had a lot of...
Trouble?
Crappy jobs.
Yeah.
So, like, I was a courier. I worked for a paper, like a copy place thing over the Galleria. We did a lot of deliveries.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm in these places, it just brings it right back because I'm just not in them. Like, I was going to say, this might be as far north as I've gone for an interview, right? Honestly.
Sure.
Like, most people come to where I am, which is my old office in the Beltline, on the East Side Beltline, and now, you know, I live in the West End, and honestly, like, this is north for me. Like, I just don't, I don't leave.
That is the first time I've ever heard of 14th Street being described as radically north.
Right, exactly.
That's fantastic.
So my point is that,
I envy it.
So seeing people, like, coats and ties and briefcases, and
it's traumatic.
It is. I mean, yeah. I mean, you're dressed pretty casual. I don't know if you did that intentionally for me, or this is how
I prefer to be
in 2018.
No, and yesterday I was in jeans and a t-shirt.
Right.
And that's what I would
holiday yesterday.
That's what I would show up in if I could get away with it. We think that if people are going to pay our rates, they deserve someone who's dressed like the kind of rate we're charging.
Right.
So, I mean, we look the part, at least.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing with that, too. So I had a friend hook me up with an attorney for not trouble, but just like business stuff when I had another business. And I went into, it wasn't that building, but it was another one of these goddamn buildings. And we walk in and like the marble fucking staircase and the whole thing. And I thought, well, you know what? I'd rather pay you less and have like a normal office, because this is what I'm paying for. I'm paying for this ambiance of the omnipresent lawyer.
Look at how rich and successful we are. Yeah.
Some
of these offices scream
I don't even think it's about rich and successful. It's more, we know stuff you don't know. Which is true. Like, that's what I'm paying for. I'm paying for what's in here. I'm pointing to my head.
Sure.
But you can, we could do that. I'm not saying you need to be in a trailer, but
right.
But the times are, the times they are changing though, right?
Yes.
20 years ago, you would not be wearing that.
No, I would be in a suit and tie.
Right.
No question about it.
Always. So where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Atlanta. I was born in Piedmont Hospital. Like, I'm one of the six or seven actual Atlanta residents.
Right.
And have lived here my whole life.
Where did you go to high school?
Woodward.
Woodward Academy.
Woodward Academy. It's where I learned how to wear a coat and tie.
Right. Were you on high Q?
No, I was not. I was at no risk for that. Let's see. What? So I got picked up at the Kroger Ansley Mall. I rode bus 26, driven by a dude named Elvis.
You drove a public bus.
No, I rode a Woodward Academy bus.
Oh, okay.
Bus 26, driven by a dude named Elvis.
Right.
From 7th through 12th grade.
Okay. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I didn't know.
You had no clue.
I'm still not clear on that.
All right.
I thought about a bunch of stuff. Transit was never like remotely in the equation. I mean, I remember the Art Center station is is in my... I mean, it's how I, when I, so I had a research project or two in high school and I had to get to the Emory Library. And so the way to do that was to walk from my house, over, my parents' house, over to the Art Center station and then ride the bus out to Emory. So MARTA featured in my high school days. Like, it's weird for me now because I go to the Art Center station, I ride the train regularly, and depending on what time of the day you're there, there are a bunch of Woodward kids who ride that train.
Really?
That was not something we did in the early 90s.
Okay. Like,
for whatever reason, and I'm sure there were a host of them. So it's kind of fascinating to see a bunch of Woodward kids now lining up to ride the train.
So where did you go to college?
Dartmouth, up in Hanover, New Hampshire.
I'm familiar with Dartmouth. That's an Ivy League school. It is. So you go to Dartmouth, mm-hmm. and at that point, as an 18-year-old, you thought, I'm going to do what?
Still didn't know.
What did you start to study?
I'm a sociology major.
Okay.
I was a class away from a minor in three different topics and never got across the finish line on any of them. So I actually have my sociology major with no minor.
Okay.
I was close to a minor in, now I have to remember, government, I think history. And I don't remember what, and maybe, philosophy was the third. Or true liberal arts, like, and all of that combines to be a pre-law degree, right? Because there's very little you can do professionally with any of that stuff.
Right. And though, so from there, you're like, well, I may as well just go to school a few more years and
then I spent a year as an assistant debate coach at Dartmouth.
Okay.
And then came back to Atlanta, cooked for a while.
Cooked?
Was a line cook, yeah.
At which restaurant?
Killer Creek Chop House in Alpharetta.
Okay.
Then I went to work.
Because you just wanted to shake the Dartmouth off you? You were like, I need to get back to Georgia, man.
I think I was the only person on the line who had an Ivy League degree and did not have a culinary degree.
Dude, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, he's listening. I'm not saying this to embarrass him. I'll just say it's Clayton. So Clayton's probably listening to the show. So Clayton has a master's degree and was working at Waffle House not too long ago. That's just how it goes sometimes.
Waffle House skills are serious business.
Well, I have an affinity for Waffle House, which if you listen to the program, you would right. find out eventually. And we could talk about Waffle House later. But I'm just saying there's no shame, right? All work is good work. All work is honorable work.
No, I mean, being on a restaurant line is, if you've never had to bust your ass for 8 hours straight,
right.
that'll do it. I mean, if you're working in a busy restaurant, you're going to get your ass kicked. And that's a very healthy thing.
No, I think so too. And I bust tables at, is it still there? At the Old Country Buffet on 41? I don't think it's there anymore.
I don't know that one.
So there's a big Sam's Club over there. I think it went away. So when I was, I think 14, I can't remember how old I was. I was young. And I bust tables and we had what I would call the Nazi cleanup at the end, where seriously, so we closed at whatever time we closed, and then you had to wipe down all the tables, and they would literally do this on every table, like I'm feeling the corners here, and like it was brutal, man. Mm. But I never waited tables. I've had every job in the world, but I've never waited tables.
Yeah, I didn't do.
And I've never cooked.
I didn't do front of the house stuff, but I cooked for a while, for a couple months, and that was enough to make me realize that I wanted an office job. So I went to work for the Secretary of State's office here in Atlanta. Worked there for a couple years. Went to work for the Democratic Party of Georgia. Worked there for a couple of years, then got hired by Shirley Franklin as part of her campaign. I think I was the third person hired in her campaign back when we were operating out of her basement on Tukawana Drive.
Okay.
Down on off Cascade. She got elected. I went to work for the city for 5 years. And after she got reelected, I decided I wanted to have a way to feed a family that didn't involve always having to win elections.
Right.
So I went to law school, Georgia State.
And how long did it take to?
3 years.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah, I went to.
That sounds like a lot of work, though.
I started with a full load of classes and still working part-time. And about Thanksgiving that fall, I realized that I was either going to shortchange work or I was going to shortchange law school. And I didn't want to do either one of those things. So I resigned from the city and focused on law school. And, you know. 12 years later, here I am.
So when you look at documents now, you said you read a lot. It's a book report. Like,
yeah.
Is there a specific genre of case or person?
We have a pretty wide practice here, so that we do. I mean, all of our stuff is litigation. We don't draft deal documents. We don't draft. You know, we don't help people buy and sell houses, which is kind of nice because we have the luxury of second guessing other people's work is the sad truth of what litigators frequently do. The piece of it that I like is when I get to help people resolve problems, because that's litigation is usually a very poor way to resolve disputes, but sometimes it's the only way that's left.
Do you sometimes quote Vanilla Ice?
No.
But you have the opportunity to.
Yeah, someone told me a while ago that as part of being a lawyer, a lot of it is just built on what's gone before.
Right.
And trying to get too creative,
right,
is usually a recipe for.
But that is our system, right?
Yeah,
it's called something, right? What's it called?
Precedent.
No. But it's a certain kind of law that like we got from England in the first place.
Oh, yeah. What is it called? It's common law.
Is that what it is?
I think it's common law.
Something that says, hey, we've done it this way.
Yeah.
This is why we're going to continue to do it this way.
Right. And so, and we have common law, which is the kind of how we do it. And then we recorded some of that into statutes, into laws.
Right.
And so that's how we get to where we are. And then we get courts who interpret those laws and interpret the common law. And they say, well, in this situation, with these facts, we did this. And so a fair amount of what we do is, well, these facts are like those facts, and this law is like that law.
Right.
So therefore, that outcome should be the outcome we have here.
Right. What is the best movie about the law?
See, this is like asking a doctor what they think about ER.
Well, I didn't ask you about Law and Order. I mean, there are like movies.
No, so Law and Order, they're people who, I mean, Law and Order is useful for learning criminal procedure.
Like basics of criminal procedure?
Absolutely. Now, trials don't take 15 seconds.
Right.
And it's not used, and the cross-examination is rarely that interesting.
Right.
People don't melt down on the stand like that.
Right. They would if they had Jack McCoy.
Well, that's true.
Grilling them.
That's true.
Here's what's fascinating, by the way, about Law and Order. Because we all love it, right?
Sure.
It's running right now in 1,000 countries.
Well, and apparently everyone in New York, every actor in New York.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have a Law and Order credit on your CV.
Forget it.
They're like, you must be crazy.
Right.
We're not working with you.
Exactly.
It is the price of
it. But here's what I realized about Law and Order recently. Because it is, so it's always on somewhere, right? And those of us that travel a fair amount, we come to rely on it, right? If you're in the hotel, you're like, I can't fall asleep. Well, I'll just put on the TV. And there's probably Law and Order and or SVU on. I traveled internationally last year, and I really came to rely on it because there wasn't a lot of English TV. And I was sitting there one night with my wife, and like we started joking about it, right? Because like there's so many predictable plot points, right? And then I realized, wait a minute. This show's been on for 20 years. It's been the same show for 20 years, right?
Those folks are brilliant. Brilliant. They've printed money.
Right? random people walking their dog and or walking home from school and or, you know,
no, it's basically a Mad Lib.
Having a fight. Hey, we found this body. Hey, here's right. This guy to this. I mean, we're just joking about it. We're making fun of the bad acting and the bad accents. And wait, that person we recognize. So, you know, that's the killer, right? Because why else would we be coming back to this person? And I just thought it just never occurred to me that there's so little wiggle room in a show that has 10,000 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it's got to be really hard for them to avoid unintentionally
writing the same show.
It has to be a lot easier in the era of a computer where they can text search like old scripts and make sure.
Did we already do that?
We didn't name somebody, you know, Bob McDad, McBad Dude before.
But you know what else there's good, though, too? You know what else you always get that always keeps it fresh? Ripped from the headlines, right? Get something vaguely.
Sure.
Right? And the other thing that
my wife is a big fan of Madam Secretary.
Yes.
And Madam Secretary does a nice job of having
from the headlines.
A rip from the headlines. Yep. They keep it topical.
Right. And that's the other thing too, is that, it used to be that it wasn't really like it didn't seem dated. Even if you watch the old ones, it looks a little grainy, but interestingly enough, in the late 90s, early 2000s, they started doing a lot of technological based cases, and those seem super dated and hilarious.
You are more of an expert in Law and Order than
I am. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. I did not mean to go off on this Law and Order tangent. My point was that I did not ask a surgeon what ER is like. I asked you if there's a decent movie about the law, which there probably is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 12 Angry Men is a fantastic classic.
Right.
I mean, it's not particularly uplifting, right?
Right.
I mean, to say it politely. So my favorite movies are all kind of in a different genre.
Okay.
Miller's Crossing is a favorite of mine.
Classic.
Now, it involves the law, and mostly in the breaking of it.
Right.
But that's kind of more the direction I go.
Right.
Apocalypse Now.
Right.
Nothing to do with the law whatsoever.
Right.
But great movie.
You know, you can't.
Also a good book, Heart of Darkness.
Right. And I've not read the book. I have seen Apocalypse Now.
Short.
And the documentary Heart of Darkness.
Yeah.
Or Hearts of Darkness, whatever they called it.
It's all sorts of like characters' first time on screen. I think it was Lawrence Fishburne's first time.
Very young Lawrence Fishburne.
He's like 14 or 15. Can you imagine what it would have done to you to hang out with those characters when you were 14 or 15?
Right.
Well, it made him Lawrence Fishburne. That's what he did.
I guess so. Made me lose my train of thought.
Movies. The Law.
Right.
Heart of Darkness.
So you like Prince.
Marlon Brando.
You like Prince.
I do.
You like Heart of Darkness.
Yep.
You like Miller's Crossing. Miller's Crossing made me a big John Turturro fan.
Yep. It's got a bunch of great characters in it. And, you know, for anyone who's worked in municipal government, it's a lovely study of municipal government gone sideways.
Right. You're going to make me go back and watch that because I've not seen that in a hot minute, as the kids say.
It is like the least famous, I think, of the Coen brothers movies.
Right, right.
But, oh my God, it's good.
Right. No. People like, there's so much more sort of, I guess, splashier ones.
Yeah.
But no, Miller's Crossing is absolutely one of my favorites.
And Gabriel Byrne is fantastic.
He's phenomenal.
I mean, that whole thing, and that little nuggets in that movie that are just worth watching. I mean, the whole idea of chasing his hat is...
Right?
You know, we spend most of our lives chasing a hat.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know what else, like, totally, totally holds up is, what's that first one that's so fucking good?
See, this is a game I'm not good at, right? Like, I'm horrible. It drives my wife crazy because I don't know actors' names.
Right.
I don't know movie
Well, the older
names.
I get and the more I've had kids, I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
But
I'm relatively good on what the latest cartoon is.
Okay. What are your kids watching?
Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, love it.
Brilliant.
Love it.
Brilliant. And it's, thank God for those guys or girls or whoever it is that writes it, because they put enough adult humor in it to keep it, like, if I have to watch it, I'm actually going to enjoy it.
Right. Well, but there's a lot of shows that try to do that. Phineas and Ferb is probably the perfect example of one that, like, hey, I'm going to put this one on and then you can stick around or not because this.
That's right. But as compared to, like, Family Guy, which... I mean, that's a cartoon, but that's the only way in which it's appropriate for children.
Right.
The Simpsons was a great... I mean, I guess The Simpsons is still going, but mean, that was a great cartoon too. But Phineas and Ferb is, it's funny for kids
and funny for adults.
But there's also this another level of it that's tossed in there for the adults who are watching it or listening from the kitchen as they're trying to get dinner on the table, and after the kids go batshit, and you gotta give them something to get them to chill out. Television, The Great Babysitter.
I think so too.
I'm not proud, but it's true.
No. I mean, if you have kids longer than 5 minutes, you'll break every rule of what you thought you might ever do.
Oh yeah, we were so sanctimonious before we.
Of course
kids.
You are.
And then just like, oh no,
everything goes out the window. It's called survival.
We are trying to be good enough parents, as the phrase a friend of mine uses. She gave up on being a great parent a while ago. She's going for good enough.
Well, I think we can be great parents. My wife is much more like, oh, we've already fucked them up kind of a thing. And I'm like, honey, they're going to be okay. Like, that's like.
The good news is humans are pretty resilient. Like, of all the stuff we went through, you know, and all the stuff we're putting our children through, you know, I'm still optimistic about the future.
All right, you ready to talk about MARTA?
Sure.
You know that I have, in fact...
That's why, my kids are why I do MARTA, because I needed something more interesting to talk about than being a lawyer with them.
All right, so let's talk about how you become... What's your role?
I'm the chairman of the board.
You're the chairman of the board?
Mic drop.
You are the chairman of the goddamn board?
Yeah, me and Frank.
Is it a volunteer position?
It is a volunteer position.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
How
I get a free breeze card, though.
How? So first of all, I do. Let's see if I have one with me. You know where I have a breeze card? You'll appreciate this. You know where I have a breeze card? I don't know if I have one on my wall.
This from the dude who asked me if Atlanta had a train.
That was a joke. That was a hilarious. That was a hilarious joke.
Yep. I have one, and mine actually has my picture on it. That's how fancy I am.
Because I asked you about parking and directions, and you said you could also take a train, and I hilariously said...
Because I'm a little snarky.
We have a train. Because I am or you are.
Occupational hazard being a lawyer.
You or me. Who's a little snarky? Okay. So this was given to me by someone.
Oh.
Because I was trying to use an older one.
That's a true friend.
And this guy, random stranger. By the way, I have become the guy that I will spend a long period of time helping out-of-towners at the MARTA thing.
Bless you.
Because now that I have begun to travel a fair amount, especially, like I said, I've been to a few foreign countries.
Sure.
And you just, in that moment, because, again, like, one thinks, well, like, how hard is it to look at a giant thing and go, I need to go from here to here?
Oh, it's intimidating.
It's intimidating, and I've learned this also recently, just not like, if I don't have my glasses on,
yeah.
Like, when you're just used to just, okay, glance up, like, even, like, these elevators, like, okay, 30 to 38 is here, but if you can't see that till you get right up to it,
yeah.
Your time is slowed down a great amount.
That's right.
So,
well, and then you
you don't want to spend...
If you're like me, you are like, I don't want to feel awkward, and so I just kind of glance at it.
Well, and you don't want to spend $20 when you only need to spend $5, and I did that once in Chicago, and I was pissed
off. Or spend 3 hours when you really only want to spend 30 minutes.
What do you mean?
Right, if you get on the wrong line.
Oh, right.
Like, DC, I've done that before,
right?
And ended up in some part of I don't even know what state,
right?
I realized, like, oh crap, like,
right.
How am I getting home from here?
Well, I did that in Chicago once, and I was so pissed where I literally was like going one stop,
yeah.
And I put in $20 and I didn't get any change, and I just was like, I gave it to somebody when I got off. But anyway, so when I take MARTA home from the airport, which I do sometimes,
thank you,
and I see people. Either bumbling about or afraid to bumble about, I happily tell them, here's the good news. It only goes one direction.
Yeah.
And
that's our most customer-friendly feature, is that we have a limited system, so it's hard to get lost on it.
Well, especially from the airport.
Yeah.
You literally can't go anywhere else.
I have told in-laws flying in from out of state that, like, just get on the train. It will take you in our direction.
Right.
Get off at Midtown. I'll pick you up.
Right. Then there's only one slight derivation where there's the Brookhaven versus the other thing.
Yeah, there's gold in that. But see, you don't, like, 14th Street was dangerously north for you. I try not to go north of Lindbergh, because Lindbergh's where it splits.
Right.
And as long as I don't go north of Lindbergh, I don't have to remember, am I supposed to be on the red line or the gold line?
Right.
Because I have made that mistake before.
Even though...
And as an Atlantan, it's embarrassing, but as being on the MARTA board, it's really freaking embarrassing.
Right.
And so I ended up at the Buckhead station and then had to hoof it across to Lenox.
Right.
And, you know, did one of those like, oh, no one's watching. This is cool.
So again, it's interesting, again, to put ourselves in the mind or of the thing or like what we're afraid of, which is we could do a whole other podcast on it because, you know, I did the Peachtree a couple years ago and that happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't sure, like, you can get off on either, but one's a super long walk and one is a slightly less long walk. And right. I remember being afraid to ask, even though I'm on there with 20,000 other people who are doing the same fucking thing.
Yeah, and none of whom are ever, ever, ever going to see you again.
And I'm like, we'll just follow the crowd. And then I'm like, fuck, I took the one where you got to walk a lot farther. Because everybody got off at that one because they didn't fucking know either.
And going to Falcons games or going to Hawks games or going to Atlanta United games now, it's the same thing. I mean, the great trick is you go one past the Georgia Dome station.
Right.
Right. But
are you talking about Vine City or not Vine City?
I'm talking about Vine City.
Okay.
But you don't, but I don't want to tell people that secret because that Vine City is the great, although the secret's kind of out now.
Right.
The hard part about it is that it's actually our smallest station.
Probably because all the fucking hipsters go to soccer. That's why it's probably open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here was my trick.
Because they can afford this.
So when I lived in,
if you have a short attention span like I do,
right.
Or like my children do, soccer actually works really well for that. Because it's not this like burst of 30-second activity followed by, I don't know what the hell is going on for the next 5 minutes. Oh, we're on television timeout. That's right.
Exactly. Well, I take the train to football games, American football.
Yep.
And
Real football, as we call it in the South.
I would not get off at Vine. I would get off at the regular, but it depends which way you walk.
Yes. Right?
That's a big one. I've learned that trick. And then going home was always Vine City.
Yeah.
Because going home, the funnel of fucking people was insane.
Oh, although
you hop on Vine City.
Yeah, the trick to that one is as long as it's not like July or August and hot as hell.
Not a lot of football in July and August.
Yeah, no, but for soccer games or for other stuff down there, the real trick is to schlep across Olympic Park and up the hill and get on at Peachtree Center.
Yeah, that seems really far.
Well,
you know, what is that? It's probably only a mile.
Stretch your legs.
It's probably only a mile.
Stretch your legs.
I'm a runner. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, well, see. On a nice fall evening, it's beautiful.
Right.
And you don't have to be in, like, because I don't like crowds that much. And so being jammed up in, you know, 50,000 or 20,000 of my nearest and dearest friends.
Right.
That's not fun for me.
You just reminded me of something, though. Oh, man, I lost my train of thought. What the hell were we talking about?
Sorry, we call that squirrel brain.
I know, but what the hell...
Squirrel!
What the hell were you talking about? Other than the...
Walking to Peachtree Center.
Oh, man.
Sports games.
Sports games.
Crowds.
And the... Well, I had
yeah,
two...
Yeah, you keyed on crowds.
I had two thoughts. One was there's sort of a halfway stop, isn't there, that's sort of under the dome. What's that thing? It's like a transit station.
I'm not allowed to talk about
anytime
that.
Anytime I see the word transit station, I get confused.
That's a secret we're not allowed to talk about.
Come on, man. You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Yes, you do.
No.
It's the blah, blah transit. It's not a stop, but you can get on it to go back, I think.
I think what you're talking about is the other end of the dome station that you get to by like kind of walking around. Like
right.
You're underneath all the roads that are above the gulch. Like you're in a suspended
right.
bridge type thing. That's actually the other end of the, it's the what? The west end of the Georgia Dome station.
Right. So I think that's where we learned about Vine City.
There is no secret halfway stop station.
Well, that's where
at
I learned.
Not one that
the word transit's
to.
In there though, which confuses people. I think that's where I learned it is that like we were going to get on that and there's even a sign that's like you're 30 minutes if you're right here and we were like fuck this can't be right and then we ran over to Vine City and it was much faster.
Yeah, Vine City's the secret.
So those listening about MARTA, which
don't take Vine City because I would really rather have it remain relatively.
I'm sure we'll be fine. I'm sure we'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. That's one of the things that I like about where the new stadium is. Is when Blank was talking about building it, he was thinking about moving it north of where the dome used to be, and that would have been a half mile or more from either of the MARTA stations.
Right.
And instead, as part of the deal to get the couple hundred million of public money that he got, he put it between two MARTA stations. And so for those of us who don't want to have to drive down there, it works much better.
Man, I really am bummed that I can't remember what it was. And honestly, I don't think I've been to the new stadium yet via train because I'm trying to think. Like, I haven't – because like I said, I had it pretty dialed in. It's like just like at the airport, if you've traveled enough in the airport, you know which train to get on that puts you closest to the escalator.
Same train. The only thing that's confusing now is that you still get off at the Georgia Dome stop, even though the Georgia Dome doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I assume that's coming, though, right? I mean, the highway you've already...
If Mercedes-Benz wants to write us a check, we'll rename the station.
I just thought you're repainting a
Any
sign.
Any offers, welcome.
I just think you're repainting a sign, no?
Yeah, I still want a check, though.
Okay. So, because they've already done that on the highway, right?
Yeah, they have.
So
no one's seen. Think about those.
Yeah. Think about those poor people.
We're talking about the tourists again.
Think about those poor people out in San Francisco. Okay, you know how many times they renamed that goddamn park in about 5 years?
Yeah, and then they moved.
Did they move?
Well,
the Giants still play there.
Yeah, all right. Oh, the Giants. Okay, yeah.
But like AT&T, 3Com, Monster, blah blah. And I think they did change that highway sign a few times. I went out there a few times because my wife's from there, so we don't have that issue. It's probably going to be Mercedes-Benz for a minute or two.
Yeah,
I assume that deal is for a long time.
I assume so. I mean, isn't the top of the stadium in the shape of a Mercedes-Benz logo?
I know. Wouldn't it be horrible if something horrible happens?
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Like, remember
it's a good
who was
stadium?
I've been.
It's fun to go to games there.
I've only been to this boxing event. I haven't been to anything else, but I did get to go on the floor, so that was cool.
Yeah. You can take a tour of it, and you can actually go down on the turf.
No, I was on the turf for this boxing event, so don't talk to me. I was in a visitor's locker room already.
Damn.
I know, for this cool boxing event. No, so that's what I was going to ask you was, okay, so let's get back to this. So I'm being serious. So Atlanta's building a new stadium, blah, 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 blah. What's part of that deal? Well, there's MARTA, blah, blah, blah. Okay, are we going to change the station name? No. Like, is that like...
So we actually have been looking at that because we've now got a couple stations that don't... Used to be stations got named based on what was nearby them, right? And so we've now had to change. We now have a couple stations that are outdated. The Georgia Dome is the best example of that. Civic Center is about to be an example of that.
Are they destroying
it? Civic Center's coming down. Ashby is an example of that because Ashby doesn't. That road is now Lowry, not Ashby. You know, as we go, as we build out the more MARTA money, so the next decade or two, as we build a bunch of light rail, we're going to build more stations. And so we've got to figure out what are we doing to name those and what's the policy going to be. But we're trying to figure out how it is we want to allow people, I mean, the tourists or whoever it is, to not have to talk to somebody to find out where they're supposed to go to, but have it be fairly obvious from the name of the station.
Well, I'll give you a pass on all those.
Yeah.
On the Ashby's and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give you a pass on the $1.5 billion thing you've got called Mercedes-Benz. Like, that one, I'm saying, like...
I don't think there's anybody who's confused about where they're going.
Yeah, but it just doesn't... It's like...
Are you really going to begrudge MARTA the minor sponsorship dollars we might be able to get from this?
Come on,
we need every dollar we can get.
You do need every dollar you can get.
We'd run a line of Mercedes buses if they wanted to make us a deal on that.
I forgot, this is part of what I was going to say that I didn't, is that I'm a runner, okay? And I run with this little thing that I stick my phone in.
Yeah.
And inside there, I have a breeze card with at least $5 on it.
Excellent.
Because sometimes I just feel like going for a run and I don't know where I'm going to end up.
So by the end of the year, we hope... you won't need the breeze card anymore.
Just the phone?
Just the phone.
Fucking score!
Yeah, and if we get it right, we will actually make it even cooler than that. We are moving to mobile ticketing. We did it at certain of the stations. You can see kind of like the test device. It's a barcode scanner, basically. And the theory, and that pilot went well. So we're moving to essentially having the fare up in the cloud. And then you being able to add fare to it on your phone, being able to swipe your phone.
You should be able to do all those things. It is 2018.
Yeah. Transit technology does not move that quickly. And we move 140 million people a year. And so we're pretty risk adverse when it comes to that stuff because you don't want to fuck that up, right?
But you can slow into that one. That's fine.
Yeah.
So I mean, you finally made a card that's made of like plastic instead of paper. I'm impressed that you got that.
Yeah. How many millions of dollars later? But the trick is, it's not just we want to put the fare on the phone because that's gosh darn cool. What we really want to do is we want to break the link between the fare in the media that it's embedded in, so that when you run the Peachtree Road Race, your bib is enough to get you on and off the system. Okay, on
that,
the
you're not
going to
do that. Why would you even say that out loud?
I'm just teasing.
That's like 20.
We're trying.
That's 2050.
I know. Or if you are going to a Georgia Tech men's basketball game, which is at the uncongested corner of Downtown Connector and 10th Street. And, you know, they can't get people to the first half of those games because traffic is nuts, right? But if that ticket, embedded in that ticket, was game day fare for to go to the Midtown Station, then maybe we'd get more riders and maybe they'd get more fans sitting in those seats. Or your Atlanta United tickets or your real football tickets.
Right. Now, just
if
so you know,
those
right.
had game day fare embedded in them. Right. Or I live on 9th Street. And so one of the annual, like, oh shit, it's time to evacuate the city of Atlanta events is Music Midtown.
I remember what I'm
saying.
And
those folks really need to be riding MARTA. Because rather than circling my neighborhood looking for a parking space that does not exist.
Get it. By the way, so I remember what it was that I really wanted to talk to you about. Were you here for Snowpocalypse?
I was.
When Snowpocalypse occurred,
yes.
I thought, like, somebody had posted that they got out of their car and, like, walked to the train station and got home.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not expecting everybody to do that, but it wouldn't even fucking occur to, I think, 95% of the people in their car. That was, I think, the biggest shame.
Yeah.
That they could walk probably less than a mile.
Yeah.
Right? Some of them longer.
Yeah.
But many of them, like, we have a public transit system. There's no way it would even, like...
And the trains actually work in that weather.
Weren't there... There were some issues, right?
Yeah, although... Well, so one of the things we had to do was we actually kept the trains running later than we usually do.
Thank you.
So that we didn't have the rail ice over.
Right.
Because... And one of the reasons we did that was because TSA called, and they would have had to shut down the airport if they couldn't get all of the
right.
tens of thousands of employees in and out of the right. airport. And the way they do that is right. on the train.
Right. And so you've got a phone in your pocket probably.
Yep.
And TSA calls.
They don't call me.
And they go, hey, man, how's it going?
They call the people who actually run the system.
They go, how's it going? And you're like, nothing. I'm just chilling with my kids. What's yeah. going on? And you go, hey, man, can you fire those trains a little bit longer? Can we keep them open until midnight or whatever? And you're like, yeah, man, sounds like a good idea to me.
For you, anything. By the way, no more body pat-downs the next time I come through.
No more body pat-downs?
Yeah.
Do you get patted down a lot?
They think I look suspicious, I suppose.
I'm so glad I remember that thought about MARTA. But just so you know, even when it is on the phone.
Squirrel.
Even when it is on the phone, until they get rid of these, I will probably still keep one of these.
We're never going to get rid of the breezers,
okay.
right? Because they're people who don't have smartphones. And they're people they're people who want to be able to come in and, you know, and they get one time, one use.
Right.
That's what it
but
is.
As I've, but
they're done.
But as I've learned, as yeah. we've learned this morning, I'm not good at keeping the battery charged. So if I'm going to run and I can't. But anyway.
Sure.
But
it's not a bad backup to have.
No, absolutely. But I'm saying that it has happened to me. I have been on a run.
Yeah.
And I don't know. If are you a runner at all?
The only reason he has to ask this question is because this is radio. And so if I turn...
Is this radio? Are we on the radio right now?
Sure. The intertubes are distributing this over the radios.
Right.
If I turn sideways, it would become clear that I am not a runner.
That's okay.
I used to run.
Right.
I ran the Peachtree for like 5 or 6 years, and then I started having kids. And
What if I told you that many people who do not look quote-unquote fit do still run? So that's not...
Oh, yeah. No. The worst of it was... I started running the Peachtree with Mayor Franklin because it was one of her campaign promises. It was that she was going to run the Peachtree if she got elected. And so it was me and her and a couple other people from the office. But, you know, the Atlanta Track Club gave her a really low number, like 3 digits. And so we were standing there, and the 6 of us probably had as much body fat as the other 200 people
right.
around us combined.
Right. You just remind me, I want to get into the, there's a media heat. I want to get into that this year. I just remembered that. I got to see what I got to do to get on that. But anyway, the reason I was, are you looking at your watch to see if we have to go there?
Checking the media heat.
What I was going to say was that, so I run, you know, I could run 6 or 8 miles, which is a fair amount. And sometimes you run 3 miles and then run 3 miles back. But sometimes I kind of just feel like running and I'm like, all right, well.
I've never had that experience.
I know you have. But anyway, but I'm saying it's helped me. And yeah. it feels great to go, I hope I have the $5 on here. I think I do. And then yeah. I did. And I was like, this is fantastic.
There you go.
All right. So I want to ask you, what I think is probably the billion-dollar question.
Okay.
It could be the trillion-dollar question.
Sure.
But if we have coffee here, and I bet we do, because I bet you have people who are strung out and need coffee.
We're lawyers. Of course.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So can we refill? Can we get a coffee refill and then continue?
Absolutely.
All right. We've got coffee. Okay. Do you know the billion-dollar question I'm going to ask you?
No.
Our train system takes a lot of knocks. Our public transit system doesn't go very far. Isn't really optimally used for a city like ours, which has quite a bit of traffic. So the billion-dollar question would be, why don't we have MARTA in the suburbs?
Because the suburbs have voted it down repeatedly, is the actual answer to that question. But that's changing, right? In 2014, Clayton County, which had voted MARTA down, had rejected MARTA at the polls 30 years ago on a 3-1 vote. In 2014, they voted 3-1 to join MARTA, to levy a 1-cent sales tax, to
Where's Clayton County?
It's the airport, and down 75.
Okay. So south of...
So Jonesboro, Morrow,
Is there a congestion problem from Morrow to downtown?
There is. I mean, folks coming from Henry County would tell you that there's
a
south side congestion problem. But, I mean, the issue in Clayton was as much... There are a bunch of folks who are transit dependent who live in Clayton, who had no way to get to jobs or to school or to healthcare or to whatever because they didn't have a transit system. And so that's fixing it. The north side, Gwinnett County voted MARTA down. Cobb County voted MARTA down. But I think that at least in Gwinnett County, within the next year or so, we're going to have a referendum on them stepping up and joining.
I'm going to give you a multiple
choice question. Either joining MARTA or contracting with MARTA to provide service.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. Those counties, which so desperately lives could be improved, congestion averted, et cetera, voted it down because A, they are dumb. B, they are afraid of black people. C, all of the above.
Yeah, I mean
that honestly, if I'm being honest with you, and honest,
so here's the
that's the billion-dollar question.
Yeah, so I think times are changing. Gwinnett County is the most diverse county this side of the Mississippi.
This is good coffee, by the way.
Thank you very much. It is. I think that we will see them move forward on a major investment in transit within the year.
They who?
Gwinnett County, the Gwinnetians, if you will.
Oh, I love it. Did you coin that term?
No, but I don't know who did. But they, I think Gwinnett's going to join the system, and that's 1 million people. I mean, that's a big friggin' deal. And I think that in turn puts more pressure on North Fulton, but it puts more pressure on Cobb County.
Let's pull up a map. I want to pull up a map, damn it. I should come here prepared with maps.
I mean, one of the things that's changing about MARTA is... And at 43, I now get to say, kids these days.
Are you 43?
I am.
I'm 46.
Kids these days want to ride the train.
Come on. Come on and ride it. Come on. All right, show me.
I told you I wasn't going to sing.
All right. So here we are. We're looking at the standard map. Yes. Show me Gwinnett.
Out
the gold line.
Yeah. So Gwinnett's up 85.
Don't. Right?
So if you take the gold line out to Doraville.
Doraville. Remember that song?
And then go... north and east from there, you get Gwinnett County.
Okay, so what cities are we talking? Name a city.
Lawrenceville.
Okay. Yeah, when people tell me
Suwannee.
When people tell me they live
Peachtree
there,
Corners.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? But if we can put them on a train.
You and I are different souls.
We are different souls. The gold line.
Yeah, but you get nervous coming to 14th Street.
I
swear to you, is the funniest thing.
I didn't say I got nervous. I said I don't travel north.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, here's the deal. I live here. Sorry, where's the train? Sorry. So I lived here.
This is why you need video for this.
So I lived here. I'm pointing to this, right? Yes. Inman Park,
to
Reynolds
his phone.
Town. Okay. I lived in the east side of town.
Yep.
Okay. I moved to this side of town.
Yep.
My kids still go to school here. My wife still works here.
Sure.
So this is me all day.
West-west.
West-west.
Yeah, I'm a north-south boy.
Right?
Right.
Guess what there isn't when you go east-west? Because there isn't. Traffic.
Yeah.
Love it. Pretty much any time of day.
That's true.
I can right little bit if I drop my kids off when I come back in the morning 8 o'clock as they're getting on the connector.
Memorial's a mess.
With the suicide lines?
Yes. Here we are. By the way, what was this? It wasn't gold when I was a kid. What was it called?
When it was a kid, it didn't have a split.
So these stations didn't exist?
I don't remember.
When did the Lennox station get born? All right, but here's the...
Lennox has existed for a long time.
Okay, but here's the...
It's the 4 North on the red line that happened within the last couple decades.
Right, but here's the...
I think it may have just been called the North Line.
Right.
You would think I would know the actual answer to that question.
You should answer this. But here's the real crux.
I'm concerned about tomorrow, not yesterday.
Over here... Oh, shut up. Over here... See how close we've become that I can say that to you? So over here...
I'm a lawyer. That people say that to me right. all the time. That's Cobb County.
That's Cobb County.
Yeah.
We're afraid of black people.
You know, I think Cobb County's changing. I know Cobb County's changing.
This is where I grew up, by the way. Yeah. I grew up in Marietta.
Yeah.
My friends all Marietta, Roswell, Smyrna.
If you could take South Cobb right now and have a vote on MARTA, that vote would pass. There are other parts of Cobb County that won't pass. Like, but over to the Galleria, we could pass that. Smyrna, we could pass that referendum today.
And then
but as you know, so here's what's going to happen. Here's what has been happening, right? NCR left Gwinnett County, moved to Midtown. Mercedes-Benz moved to left New Jersey, moved to Sandy Springs. State Farm moved up to the perimeter from wherever they came from, built a couple thousand white collar jobs up there. All of those decisions were driven by access to transit. Pulte Homes, when they moved from Detroit, they put their headquarters on top of a MARTA station. And the one color Atlanta has always seen pretty clearly is green. And so
you're not allowed to use any of your
talking points?
Talking points and or...
But this one happens to be true. I mean, that's the benefit of it.
Talking points is okay, but
look,
not...
this is a town in which...
Rhetoric. No rhetoric.
Corporate success... means something, and it's changed the conversation around MARTA. I mean, MARTA has always meant jobs for some folks, but now people associate it with economic development for white-collar jobs. And that has gotten more people's attention, and it's why the conversation is changing in North Fulton, Cobb, and Gwinnett. It's part of why the city of Atlanta doubled down on its investment back in 2016.
But here's the other thing, and this is I'm fascinated by this. So I lived in Kirkwood, which I kind of call like ground zero gentrification.
Yes.
I moved there in 08,
right.
And I just watched it
change,
flourish very
yep.
quickly, right? I'm in the West End now,
yep.
right? And a lot of money is being spent there, but it is going to be a long time before it looks anything like the East Side.
Right.
But people love that Beltline.
Yes, they do.
People pack that. I cannot go for a run on a Saturday on the Beltline. Yeah. Unless I want to zigzag a lot of people.
My house is 2.5 blocks from the top of the East Side Trail.
Okay.
The corner of 10th and Monroe.
Okay. So the kids today want to live near that thing.
Yep.
Although some of them, and maybe that generation is starting to change, but when I lived in Kirkwood, there was a lot of, well, we're having a kid now, so we're moving.
Yeah.
Right. So there's still some of that. But the question is...
Although there are parts of the APS system that I think people are now moving into parts of the APS system because they think that those schools are really good.
Right.
And so there's less, I think, of the, well, we've got to move to Cobb County if we want to send our kids to public school.
Well, no, but...
Than there used to be.
No, for sure. But there is some of that. But here's my question to you. The love affair with the Beltline for
yes.
locals and tourists alike.
Yes.
How does that help or hurt you guys? Because people love being in town.
Oh, it helps. There's no question about that. The Beltline's fantastic. I mean, it's one of the most exciting things to happen to Atlanta in 20 years, I think.
Maybe 50 years.
Yeah.
Man, this coffee was good.
Thank you very much.
You stopped saying like you made it. It was a pretty machine.
I pushed the buttons. I selected the blend.
You did push the buttons.
Yeah. You know.
Wait a minute. You selected the blend?
I did. I know. We have all sorts of flavor pods. And I gave you my favorite flavor pod.
Which is?
Caribbean Organic.
But then where did the milk and sugar come from?
Cow and sugar cane.
But was that like a button that you pushed?
No. No, I poured those in there for you.
Oh, okay. I didn't see you do that.
It's a full service law firm.
I would say that I would totally use your services, but I reconnected with a high school buddy who said, no matter what, I have to use him and no charge. So.
Yeah, no, that's... you're making the right decision on
and
that
you,
one.
But okay.
Well, okay. And I can't afford me as a lawyer. I mean, it's the sad truth of the matter.
Right. You guys are probably expensive. I can't afford probably my friend, but he's going to cut me a deal. Okay, so the Beltline helps you because?
The Beltline helps us because
it's something that gets people thinking about mobility in a way that is not dependent upon being in your own car and driving yourself everywhere you got to go.
Okay.
It's a big freaking deal. And yeah. It becomes a bigger freaking deal if and when we get transit along it.
That's so far away, though, dude.
No. I mean, the city of Atlanta approved $2.5 billion in new sales taxes in 2016. This summer, we're talking about how to spend them. And one of the things we will spend them on is putting transit on the Beltline, or at least pieces of the Beltline.
So there is a photo mm-hmm. of what the Beltline will look like over by Memorial and Bill Kennedy. What's that restaurant called?
Gun Show?
No. Further up. Sorry. Gun Show is inside of Glenwood. This is further up the main thoroughfare there. Is that Memorial that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's a restaurant, Golden Eagle.
Okay.
It was called something else. Do you not know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
And if you look at this beautiful rendition, there's this very awesome space-age train and people around it in trees.
Sure.
And it looks exactly like they told me today would look like when I was a child in the early 80s.
Yes.
And I just feel like that's always the future that we're never going to get.
Right. I mean, and someday we will all move around a la George Jetson.
No, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, in 1980, they were like, this is what Atlanta will look like in 2000. This is what Atlanta will look like in 2010. Now they're telling me this is what Atlanta will look like
tomorrow
in 2020.
Tomorrow is always a day away, to quote my favorite Orphan.
I thought you were going to say, so that beautiful train, I just feel like it's not coming.
It's coming.
I'm not waiting on it to come.
It's coming.
I've watched.
It's going to take a while.
As a runner,
yeah.
I ran that East Side Trail before it was finished, when
sure.
it was still dirt. I was chased off by angry men in hard hats. Okay. Now on the West End, same thing.
I have YMCA going through my head now, but
right?
A side issue.
So I've watched it blossom,
yeah.
right? And now you're going to add rail? Come on, dude. It's going to take a long time.
It's going to take a while. I mean, rail is not quick. But we have a financing source in place, and it's one of the things Atlantans really want to spend the money on. I mean, we have the $2.5 billion,
okay.
or at least we have the sales tax, which over its lifespan, I'm a lawyer. I got to put the caveat in there.
Okay.
Right?
How does Uber and Lyft help or hurt MARTA?
Some of both is the honest answer to that question.
Okay.
Some of it is it cannibalizes people who don't want to drive their own car. But some of it also helps us with what's called the last mile problem, which is our train station is where it is.
Right.
You've already mentioned it. It doesn't go, like, for what it does it pretty darn well. But if you're off that train line, it doesn't, I mean, the connection is tough. Or you have to time it really well with the buses. Uber and Lyft can get you to the trains and from the trains pretty well. And so it's helpful in that regard. But I think a full accounting of it would say that it's also cannibalized some of the service.
Well, I think it's a good thing in that
it's like most things in life. It's a little bit of both.
Right. Well, no, I really like the option. So, for example, like I took my kids to, I think, a wrestling match.
Yep.
And I was like, let's take the train. Okay.
First of all, strong parenting there.
Going to the wrestling?
Oh, yeah. I love wrestling.
It. Me too.
I mean,
I've gotten reacquainted.
We both grew up in Atlanta. We pretty much have to love wrestling.
So
wrestling.
I very briefly met.
We're not allowed to call it the WWF anymore, right?
No. But
they lost that lawsuit.
So, yeah. But, you know, I want to take MARTA. It's SMARTA.
Sure.
And I live.
Thank you for that.
We weren't going to have this whole episode without saying that at least once. I thought we might say it several times. I know you got to go.
Yeah.
Come on, this is way more fun than any part of your job.
It is way more fun than my day job.
Okay.
I just can't explain that to my bank.
Oh, okay. Your bank?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
My mortgage company.
Oh, so you have work to do.
Yeah.
Got it.
Sorry. As I said, I get a free Breeze card for this, though.
But.
Which is totally sweet.
Sweet. And so I live super close to the West End station.
Yeah.
I have and can walk to it. Like even to the airport with my little luggage.
Yep.
But I drove my kids. We got on the train. But then it was like a little late on the way home, and I didn't want to really wait for it. So then I just took an Uber home.
Yeah.
And it was like, so it's kind of like sure. best of both worlds.
I want to see. So my goal for MARTA in 5 years or so is for us to have one app that if your phone will know where you are, you tell us where you want to go,
and you'll get a set of choices.
But doesn't Google already do that for me?
Like a menu, but no, but these will price them for you. So that if you want to walk to the nearest train station, it'll tell you how to do that. You'll know what the price is for that. If you want to have a black car pick you up and take you directly to where you want to go, it'll price that. If you want to have a car pick you up and take you to the train station, it'll price that. And it won't all be $2.50 a ride, but you'll have the choice. I want to get us out of thinking of us as a bus and train company and think about mobility and all of the different options for mobility. And one of those is working with companies like Uber and Lyft.
Are you on the phone with them or at the table with them frequently?
Me? No, but no, you, folks at, yeah, MARTA, yes, absolutely.
The royal you.
Yeah, that conversation, that's a frequent conversation. How to make that happen.
Because it does, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to...
So for example, that's a festival, right?
We need to focus on the customer service experience. And the truth is, like it or not, ride-sharing companies are here to stay. So how do we integrate them into what we do? And how do we use what they do to make ourselves better?
Right. But I think that's a real option for a lot of people. I'm going to take this train to the festival. Now it's really late. I don't know if the train's open. I don't know if I want to deal with it. So I'll take an Uber home.
Sure.
But they've gotten out of their fucking car.
Yeah, absolutely. And glorious for that.
Right. So there's a nice little...
Yeah, there's synergy.
Is that the word?
I think so.
All right. Are you ready for the Atlanta quiz? That's how we wrap up.
Sure. Uh-oh. I missed this part of the test, but okay, sure.
What is your go-to Waffle House meal?
Scattered, smothered, and covered with a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich on dry white toast. Because, you know, if you put the butter on there, that would be too much.
Okay.
Or the mayonnaise. It comes with mayonnaise, which I always like. Oh, man, come on. But no, dry white toast, bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, scattered, smothered, covered.
What is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta?
Local 3.
Where is that?
Up on Northside, which is not convenient to any MARTA station at all, which is a severe drawback.
Do you make your family take MARTA? This is not one of the questions, but...
No, but my kids think I'm a hell of a lot cooler because we take MARTA, because they love trains and buses.
Okay.
I mean, a hell of a lot cooler than being a lawyer, which is damning with faint praise, right? But
right.
Okay, nonetheless, real quick, dad points
to get
taking your kids.
I'm sorry to take you away from the Atlanta quiz for a moment. I remember the other thing I wanted to remember about that I wanted to ask you when I said about Cobb County, because I grew up in Cobb County. When I was graduating high school, so I guess that's early 90s, that's when the whole CCT thing came around.
Yep.
How's that going? Since the train wasn't going there, the buses were supposed to kind of help with that.
CCT is a lifeline service, right? I mean, it's what they have. I mean, it's bare bones. It's paid for out of the county's revenue, and a bunch of the county doesn't want to pay for transit at all. So it's kind of a bare bones operation.
So there's not a lot of buses running.
I don't think CCT runs very many buses, no.
Got it. Okay. So...
It's certainly not a level of investment in transit like Fulton and DeKalb making transit with MARTA.
But don't they want to partner with you in some way and be good or better?
I think within 5 years we'll get there. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I just think it's piece by piece.
Okay. There's one more question
I have. We got Clayton in 2014. We got the city of Atlanta to double down in 2016.
Right.
I think in 2018 or 2019 we're going to get Gwinnett.
Right.
I think North Fulton and Cobb... Every time somebody else decides to invest in transit, it's increased pressure on the rest of them to invest in transit. Because here's the deal. They're going to be people who get left behind. Because it's not transit. You don't have to have transit to have all of the economic development. But to have some of it, you don't even make the list of places for certain companies to look at if you don't have transit. That's why Amazon... is only looking at certain places. It's why NCR only looked at certain places. It's why Mercedes only looked at certain places. And so they will be parts of the Atlanta region that vote themselves off the island. And that's their right. That's their prerogative. But they're also going to be pieces that decide, you know what, we're ready for this. We want this. And they choose to invest in it. I mean, we're sitting here at 14th Street. And, well, we're looking in the wrong direction. But if we were looking south, we would see a whole bunch of cranes on the skyline. And a lot of why that's happening is because this is a walkable and transit-friendly part of the region.
We're getting there.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
Do I have to ask you one more question that's off the board?
You're not going
to
go with don't call me Shirley? Okay, fine.
Who's in charge of the Train to Nowhere in Edgewood there.
The streetcar?
Yes.
Oh, that's so the city transferred that over to MARTA. And one of the things that
can we... Can you just shut it down tomorrow?
One of the things we're going to do with it is we're going to extend its east end so that it actually gets to Krog Street. So that you could take it over to the Beltline.
Right.
Or to Krog Street and get lit at Krog Street if that's what you want to do.
Right.
And then ride it home and get back on the train, the big train system.
Okay. So when is that going to happen?
Next couple of years.
Okay. So you weren't in charge of the inception of it. They just turned it over to you when they realized they'd done such a horrible job.
Let's call it a learning opportunity.
Right.
I mean, one of the things we learned, that Atlanta learned, was that if you run a train, but you run it in traffic and not in its own dedicated right-of-way, you lose a lot of the point of having a train.
Meaning?
I mean, yeah, you don't want to get stuck behind a parked car. Because if you're in a train...
Is that why people aren't on it?
There's nothing you can do about it. Well, it also needs to be bigger. It's like if your rib cage only had one rib, it would not work very well.
How does one not know that going into it?
I think it was a start.
Okay. All right. Back to the Atlanta quiz. Because yeah. I know you're a very important man with important things to do.
I have bosses who want to talk to me.
Did you tell them how popular the Atlanta podcast is?
I did. This is a great business development opportunity.
And what did they say? You know, you can sponsor the show for very little.
See, there we go.
Do you know that?
A cup of coffee?
Well, no.
More than a cup of coffee?
I have a coffee sponsor, believe it or not.
Okay.
Lake House Coffee. They make good coffee. Okay. What's your favorite festival in Atlanta?
I think it's got to be Music Midtown.
Okay.
Even though it's also the reason I evacuate that weekend.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I grew up in Midtown, right? So I've been going to Music Midtown since it was on the corner of 10th and Peachtree, which right. is why it was called Music Midtown.
I went back in the day, too.
Yeah, back before the Federal Reserve existed. It's a great opportunity to see a bunch of bands you wouldn't otherwise see. And to be there, and to be in the crowd, and look out over the Atlanta skyline, that's a cool feeling.
Right?
Yeah.
Rank these in importance to you.
Okay.
Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United.
United, Falcon, Hawks, Braves.
I can't believe you said United. I can't believe you're my age and said United. All the hipsters say United.
No, because I can afford it, first of all.
Right.
The tickets are cheap.
Right.
And I have a short attention span, so do my children. Like,
right.
The action right. happens.
Right.
And then it's done.
Right.
And I get to go home. And the food at the stadium is good.
I've heard the food at the stadium is good.
Yeah, it is. We still love the Braves. It's just they're not in a... They're not in a part of town that's accessible to us.
Right. Are we going to be able to get to them on a train?
I think so. I think one of the things that will drive, pardon the pun, MARTA out to Cobb County in the next 5 years.
That damn stadium?
Is that stadium.
Okay.
Now the folks who live in South Cobb, the folks who live in Smyrna. Someday I think we're going to go to Kennesaw State, but that's someday.
Right. Now this next question has recently been added to the quiz, and it's a great Atlanta quiz question. So you're going to think I'm making it up, but fill in the blank for me. You ready? I take MARTA blank.
Downtown all the time.
What do you think most people's answer to that question is?
To the game or to the airport?
The airport's the number one answer.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on who you're talking about with most people. I think there are a lot of people, I know there are a lot of people for whom I take MARTA to my job. I take MARTA to school is the answer, but for me... I take it downtown for like if I have meetings in the 191 building or the state capitol
right.
stuff like that. Driving downtown is a pain in the ass, and parking downtown is worse. And so MARTA makes a hell of a lot of sense for my life. And I get to be that annoying guy who takes pictures of like the trash or the stairs that need to be cleaned or whatever or the television screen that's not working. And I text those to staff, which drives them crazy. But
do you feel sometimes like if you're like in your car and it's bad traffic, do you kind of feel like you work for Coke and like that somebody catches you with a Pepsi? Like, do you never want to be seen?
Yeah, I try not to admit to people that I drive very often.
Okay. All right. Well, the last question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Mayor Bottoms.
Okay.
Keisha's fantastic.
Can you help make that happen?
Mayor Keisha is fantastic.
Can you help make that happen?
Sure. I'll try.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Okay. Because that is...
I wasn't being sarcastic about any part of
because
that.
Because that is clearly
I
like...
I think she's fantastic.
Since I started the show, I was like, I really need to have the mayor, knowing that the mayor would change. Right.
As they do.
Right. But I'm saying like the mayor, like I made a list of people I wanted to get, and the mayor like just depending on who it is.
TBD.
Knowing Kasim wasn't going to be in there forever. Right. I'd still like to get him on. Because,
oh, he's fantastic.
Because he was our mayor for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you making time.
Oh, man. This is, you know, I'm flattered. I don't think I'm that interesting, but I'm glad to be
here.
Well,
whoever recommended you, what's her name?
I don't know.
Well,
Stephanie, maybe?
Stephanie, who I'm sure
Stephanie
will listen.
Stephanie Fisher?
Yes.
Okay.
I will thank her because this was great.
I will thank her too.
Well, thanks for doing this, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you enjoyed the coffee.
Told you that was sexy. Thank you, Robbie. It was a great chat. I hope we become like pals. Like I dug you as like a dude. Like you seem like a good guy. I'm glad they picked you. We enjoyed coffee. We talked about our kids on and off the mic. You seem like a great person. And I'm really glad you talked to me. And I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Much more to come. So much more to come. ATL, ATL, I'm pressing charges. I'm pressing charges. Do you guys remember that? Little MARTA chat, little MARTA song. You might hear it before you might be hearing it sooner than you thought. Maybe, I don't know, maybe. Listen guys, I know I sound a little like I'm running out of gas because it's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday, but my commitment to get this to you is above my desire to take a nap or to get to bed or whatever. I'm gonna do neither of those things right now, but you know what I'm saying. I need to put my kids to bed and shut the night down. But I wanted to get this to you. Going out of town. Leave me a iTunes review. Go on iTunes right now. I know it's not easy. I know iTunes is fucked up. I know the iOS app is screwy. But right now, that's the best thing you can do for me. Or you can leave it on Facebook. Go there, too. That's fine. Just make sure at least you leave it on mine and not the other one. It's easy to figure out who's who. I don't want to get crazy, but I'm the red one. All right, now I'm getting grumpy. Love you, Miss You Mean It. I got to run. I'm pressing charges.
My shit, man. You assassinated. Cause I'm finna send him to come do. Anybody wanna see young Jesus kill George Bush, Simon? I'll press the charge. Where my do-rag at?
Help your small business thrive and stay connected with the Comcast Business Complete Connectivity Solution. It's the largest, fastest, reliable network. Advanced gig speed Wi-Fi and cyber threat protection. Get started for just $40 a month for 12 months with no annual contract when you add mobile. Plus, ask how to get up to a $750 prepaid card. Comcast Business. Powering possibilities.
Ends 2/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires eco bill and auto pay. New 100 megabits per second internet and Comcast Business Security Edge customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Gig internet required for gig Wi-Fi.